Hello, everybody. This is Daniel Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of Informant. This is News for the Soul.
Hello, this is Satyan Raja, and you're listening to News for the Soul. Be open in your mind, your body, your being. Allow yourself to drench in this awesome information to evolve you to your next place.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you're listening. I'm Nicole Whitney, and you found it, News for the Soul. Life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And we're here. So good to be here, and so good to be talking to all of you. We'll be back in a moment with our interview.
Did you know that News for the Soul is home to the largest totally free life-changing audio resource on the World Wide Web? And did you know that journalist and single mom Nicole Whitney is single-handedly making this freely available for you to hear? That's why your support is critical to help keep News for the Soul totally free. You can help in several ways. Firstly, you can tell everyone you know about News for the Soul. So many people out there still do not know about this totally free life-changing resource. So do us, yourself, and your friends a favor and pass it on today. Secondly, financial support for News for the Soul helps keep the show going. Whether it's through advertising, donations, or purchases of our exclusive audio and video packages, like the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, which will teach you how to bend metal with your mind for real. This support helps keep us on the air. Go to newsforthesoul.com now to find out more. We invite you to help us help the world. And thanks for tuning in. It's listeners like you who have made News for the Soul the number one life-changing talk radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL. Together, we are already making a difference in our world. So thank you for listening, and thanks in advance for your support. Now, let's get back to the show.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to News for the Soul. This is life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Kind of all the same thing sometimes, isn't it? And I'm Nicole Whitney, and my guest today, Satyan Raja, is back from Warrior Sage, the person I'm going on about a lot these days because he does great work, great programs, one of my favorite teachers. And he has just released his first, I can't believe it's your first, book, Living Ecstasy, and we're here to talk about that this hour. Welcome back. Accepting Raja to News for the Soul.
Hello, everyone. All my love. I'm excited to talk about this.
Living Ecstasy. Okay. So, we say it. It's words. But what does that really mean, Living Ecstasy?
Well, you know, I thought I'd read from the inside of the first cover, of the front cover, if that's okay.
Alrighty.
So it says, Living Ecstasy is not a get-happy-in-10-easy-steps type of book. Living Ecstasy assumes that you are not broken or needy. You do not lack anything. This book is designed to be an invitation and a challenge. It's a call for you to wake up, to stand up and to start living the real and tangible truths that in your depths you already know. And the real secret of living ecstasy and in maximizing this book's value is to realize that when you pick up this book, you're actually picking up the words of your own heart and soul. You are reading the script of your already awakened self. And have written, read Living Ecstasy with the freshness of a newborn. Read with the adventurous thirst of an explorer who's finding new inner lands. Read with the lightness of someone who knows that their sacred life is dissolving moment to moment. And then know that in the precious time that you have left, you are a gift, and to bless the world with the beauty of your undressed heart. Living Ecstasy is your own heart revealed. May you enjoy this journey and serve many beings with who you are. So that's the inside. It's really was an inspiration from a few different workshops that I gave, and some of my colleagues and students said, you know, we got to turn, you know, those teachings into a book that you shared, because really it's about connecting with the ever-present ecstasy within ourselves that's already here now. We don't have to go anywhere to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole book really teaches you how to remember what you already are in any moment. And I thought we'd do something fun today. I thought whenever you're ready, we just pick a number from 1 to 277, which is how the book is designed to open up anywhere. access who you are from that place. Hmm. I thought if you throw out some numbers, I would read bits and pieces of there and talk about it.
Okay, excellent. Let's do that throughout the talk then. That's perfect. You know, so what, if just to kind of encapsulate what we've covered so far, though, I mean, basically you're saying it's not like you need anything external to complete you or do anything, that we're that now.
We are that now. The only challenge is we've got shells of contraction and fear covering the part of us that's already love, that's already free, that already is enlightened, that already is in a place that is living ecstasy. And what I mean by ecstasy is a bliss of being which has no description. Everyone can relate to what I'm talking about if they just remember moments where they've been at one with people around them, where they've seen a baby or a child and their hearts have melted, or they've witnessed or have been part of an act of love where the boundaries have relaxed and now there's been a beautiful oneness. Well, how do we have that oneness? How did we get to there? Sometimes for most people it's just haphazard. These beautiful mystical or divine or love experiences happen, but no one's ever really shown us the behind the scenes of why they're not happening. Why they're happening is obvious. Why they're not happening is what living ecstasy addresses. It addresses the unconscious shells that we place over our heart. And when we learn to relax these shells, then this place of love is there within us. This place of absolute ecstasy is there in every single moment. And this book shows you how to rest open as that in this moment.
So we're so conditioned to not focus on that. And is it just by replacing our attention in that area that it activates that again? I mean, how does this happen?
Well, why don't you give me a number and we'll see what the book says.
Okay, let's...
I think I'll let the book answer for all of us today, all right?
Okay.
In a way, I didn't really even write this book. It just sort of came through an amazing collaborative effort, my staff and editing and so forth, but...
Most writing is channeled anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really coming through. So give me a number from 1 to 277.
Okay, I'm going to go with 33.
Ah, okay, good. A master number. I get to page 33. Okay. Kinks.
Uh-oh.
Just exactly what we were talking about. Okay. You have kinks. You have parts of you that shut down due to old conditioning when you're stressed and when things get stirred up in your soul. A kink occurs when you feel that the freedom that is inherent in your nature is contracted. You're caught up in your own troubles, your own sorrows, and your own sadness. The difficulty that you feel when your heart is not flowing as fully as it could be is pain, fear, or tightness that is resulting from your kinks. Kinks are the energetic crooks and twists and bends that occur in all levels of your being, in your mind, in your body, and your emotions. So, as we go on to page 33, it says, some part of you is sick and tired of your own stuff. Your history, your problems, your accumulated burdens, the unconscious conditioning that you picked up as a child, all the unhelpful and unsupportive habits that you learned from society, parents, upbringing, and all the early harmful influences, are the accumulated kinks which crimp, bind, and lock down the free flow of the inherent freedom of your being. Everyone has these kinks, including you. Now it says, now what to do? It's really important. The first thing is to recognize that kinks are part of life. And this is just me talking now, okay? You can see that kinks, you can see kinks in others quite clearly. You've ever seen that in other people?
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to see someone else's.
Someone else's is very clear. Ours?
That's the humor of life. It's simple to see where people are having tension screwed up or where they're not living their life from their fullest expression. But when you're focusing on where others are lacking, you're actually living from your own kinks. So that's another short tell sign that you're focusing on those kinks. Now the other thing is this. You'll never overcome your kinks. That's part of my teaching. There's so many systems and therapeutic processes that, you know, aim to sort of free yourself up from these debilitating kinks. Well, what I'm saying is that no matter how much work you do on yourself, these kinks, many of them are not meant to overcome. They're meant to turn, believe it or not, into art. These quirks and bends construct the, you know, they constrict the flow, but really, when you allow humor to come through them, you can turn these kinks into an art form. You know, like Jim Carrey, famous comedian, or you know, you think of any famous out there comedian or performer, or you look at Cirque du Soleil performers. You know, these people are not normal people. You don't devote that much time to something unless you're a bit kooky, you know what I mean? Unless you got these kinks. But what they've learned to do is they've taken their problems, their challenges, and they've turned them into an art form. Look at blues musicians. They've taken, or country music has got a lot of this, where they've taken the difficult situations, painful experiences, heartaches, breakups, losing everything, and they've turned it into art and music and performance. So rather than trying to cure your kinks, my philosophy is instead of getting dramatic, it's better to become theatrical. Because the difference
sounds like more fun.
Becoming dramatic and theatrical is huge.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's one is intention, one is victimization, right?
Exactly. And when you come from a theatrical place, you start to recognize, hold on a sec, you slow down, you don't turn into a victim, you don't make your own background a victim, because, you know, how many different ways are there to try to clear up the past when you can't really change your past? All you can do is reframe how that past will now serve you, no matter what circumstances happen in your life. If you start looking at a circumstance from a place of lack in your past or a place of anger, then what will start to happen is that those kinks get magnified in a way that hold you down. And our basic responsibility as we become more conscious is to really turn these into gifts. I mean, that's the story of Jesus, of someone who is receiving incredible amounts of torture in a very negative way. You know, if you think about the archetypal Christian philosophy of a person who's bearing sort of pains, but at the same time has transformed those burdens into a way to serve other people. So, I mean, that's a very dramatic version of it, but do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Can you give us a couple examples of typical, very common, everyday kinks and how one might, you know, dramatize it?
Certainly. Well, what do you have an example you can give me, maybe perhaps from your own life, and I'll show you how to work with it.
Okay, kinks. Oh, boy. I want your examples first.
Okay, I'll give you an example, okay? So, let's say, for example, you know, with my wife, okay, I have a pattern that's been going on now for 20 years with her, okay? And the pattern is this. She grew up in a family, Jamaican family, and I grew up in an Indian family. And we have totally different ways. Now, on top of our ethnic diversity and differences, we also have individual differences. She never grew up with anyone cooking or around her because they had maids and servants, you know? And food was a totally different experience for her, where you just come, eat, and you run. Whereas in my Indian family, it was such a huge part of our culture and tradition. So every time we get together, we have food. Every time we're doing everything, we have food. And so I really love food. And it turns out that the woman of my dreams that I connected with 20 years ago has, at that time, had no idea how to cook. And so we would always get into these strange fights and tensions because I would come in expecting meals. That was my kink, right? I had this unconscious desire and expectation to be fed delicious food all day long, and my wife had the expectation, unconscious, that I should be serving her food all day long. Now, as you can imagine, it caused a lot of tension, and because we both felt, and here's how you know it's a kink, because you really feel right and justified.
Oh, okay. So it's those places where you feel very attached to having things a certain way.
Exactly. That's one example of a kink. Now, the way we worked through it over the years was now when I got, start getting tens, I mean, we tried talk therapy, we tried everything, okay, to deal with the tension that came out of this. Finally, what we started to do was this, believe it or not, it's quite humorous, is that when I get into any tension with food with her, or she gets into any tension about food, like me hovering around in the kitchen or whatever when she's cooking, right, or never judging silently or whatever, right, then what we start to do is we actually live out of a fight. We actually start jokingly yelling at each other, and instead of repressing these feelings, we let them up. But as we let them up, we look at each other and we wink at each other. It's like part of a cosmic joke. And so now we turn this potential for tension into a humorous, like, hey, you're not putting enough salt in the food, and then I wink at her. Then she'll say, you're hovering around the kitchen too much and looking over my shoulder, but she'll do it with a wink, and then we'll make fun out of it. We'll tickle each other because we know that we've tried using calm approaches, centered approaches, becoming honest in approaches, and none of it really changed our dynamics since it was so ingrained in us. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
So now we have humorous, joyful, tickling matches in the kitchen.
And it never escalates.
Well, when it escalates, we escalate our humor with it. But it never gets to any point of where we're now. So we allow the anger and the humor to show up simultaneously, which in our body mind doesn't seem like you could do it. But if you just endeavor, and you know that, you know what, this is the love of my life. Why should I let such one tiny small factor ruin a perfectly good day of love between us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what if she doesn't have those things down? So what if he doesn't have those things down? What can we do to make theater out of this rather than get into another cat fight where we're tense with each other for a few hours?
Yeah, well, and that, you know, as conscious people, we know that everything is energy, and that affects a lot more than just that. It affects everything if that's what we choose to wallow in, right?
Well, you know what's amazing is now that we play humorously with the tensions we have with each other rather than try to mask it or stuff it down or suppress it, right? Now that we deal with it in this humorous, fun way, it opens the rest of the day up to more humor. Mm-hmm. It opens our love life up. It opens our sensuality with each other up. It opens our parenting with our kids up. Because our kids see that, you know what, these parents are real. They're not just BSing that they're always in a state of bliss and happiness. Because the truth is, none of us are always in a state of bliss and happiness, no matter how much spiritual training or background, or I don't care how, you know, what the yogi is, and if he says he's totally calm, there's probably some things in his life that aren't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when we come to face the reality that in this world there's soft breezes, cool water, beautiful birds flying by, and then there's also hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes, and those two are part of this great experiment and experience called living on Earth, right? That we start to make theater out of it. We start to love each other while we're having tension. And instead of trying to get rid of all the things that cause tension, because that's a kink in itself, that becomes neurotic, you know, to cure yourself of everything because you're really not meant to, you know.
Well, I have a good one to ask you about then, and
okay.
Now that I understand what is meant by kink, and perhaps anyone with a teenager out there might relate to this kink, you know, I can be having the most spiritual, loving day, get off the, you know, radio station or the phone with the most enlightened guests and just be floating on my little News for the Soul cloud. And I'll float on out, you know, out of the home office into the kitchen to find it in complete disarray for the 8 billionth time. 8 billionth time. And instantly go right into blah. You know, real energy. And I'm conscious of it, so then I'm thinking, oh, crap, now I'm in the blah energy. So I go through this whole cycle, and I, you know, it's been summer holidays, so I've done it a lot. 8 billion times, it would seem. So, you know, and then that
creates the whole counter dynamic with said teenager going, oh, there she is nagging again, oh God. So would that be a kink?
That would be a parent who's got teenagers.
Oh God. I was so hoping for ecstasy leaving tits.
We'll
there.
We'll have to go to the top of the Himalayas to get an answer for that one. Because I'll tell you, I've been to the four corners of the world, and I don't know any spiritual teacher who knows how to answer that one.
Oh man.
I do have some living ecstasy tips for that, though.
Oh, good.
The key is, and I experience the same thing, just so you know, my wife and I experience the same thing with our youngsters. And the thing is to recognize that we are, they're in a more of a freedom-oriented space, right? It's to come from understanding. Now, the first thing is to come from reactivity. That's the natural kink. The kink is, not again, or feeling that heavy burden, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can catch yourself, and this is a practice, before the slope falls right down to the bottom, right? If you can catch yourself on the slope of energy, because it's an energy to go, shoot, right? That internal feeling of, who needs this, or not again, or the anger that arises. One of the things that we do, believe it or not, with our kids is we let them feel our upset. We don't go into parent voice mode. Okay, now, Susie, I want you to do this, blah, 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 blah. You know, there's a parent voice mode where sort of the parent ratchets into a gear where their voice turns into this weird sort of parenting.
Apparently, that's what she's been telling me anyway.
Yeah, apparently, there we go. You know? We become apparently parents. Well, what they miss in that moment is the contact of us as real people. Now, I don't know if this is there in any, teenage parenting book, but I'll tell you what we do. We sometimes just really let them have our deepest emotions. If it's frustration, we open our heart to our youngsters. I hope, like yesterday this happened, there's a total mess, in the backyard of toys all over the place, and you name it. And I just said to my son, ugh! I just let him have all my frustration out, ugh! With a sound and energy. And I didn't come from this authoritarian parenting voice, you know. Hey, shaman, you must clean up. I dropped all that, and I just let that deepest part out of me, the angst, and he saw it, and he felt it, and he goes, what is it? And I go, it just, before I get angry, because hurt turns into anger, behind anger is hurt. So what you're hurt about is that, for me, the youngster, my son was not respecting the place and living up to his word,
mm-hmm.
of saying he was going to clean it up. So I said, it hurts when you don't live up to your word. And I don't want to project my anger on you. I just told him honestly. I just want to be able to love you without all this stuff getting in the way. But guess what? These are things that we have to do in life. Keeping things clean. And it just pains my heart. And I use words and I use sound, bodily emotion. I let him have the anger and the energy and the pain and the frustration. I transmit it fully without holding back to him, as I share with him that I love him. So the first thing that I transmit is the living ecstasy of my love connection. Then when that corridor has been established from my heart to his, do I show the free expression of my emotions and my primary emotion, which is the first emotion before it turns into anger, which is usually hurt and disappointment,
Mm-hmm.
So establish love first through gazing at them, relaxing the front surface of your body, relaxing your face, relaxing your throat, relaxing your heart area, your chest area, relaxing your breath. Sounds easy to do, but it takes practice,
Mm-hmm.
At first it'll take time to calm down and to breathe and to do what I'm telling you, but if you keep practicing relaxing the whole front surface of your body, in any moments where tension is arising, then you're able to access the part in you that is living ecstasy. And that will come through stronger than the reactivity that naturally, you know, arises. And then the reactivity flows through the heart connection, through the living ecstatic experience, and then you're connected with wisdom. And your kids and your teenagers will experience it and feel it. They'll know that you're coming from a deeper place and not just from a, oh no, nagging, parenting place, you know?
Yeah. The automatic program, so we're playing out these parts and not being conscious through any of it. It's just, nothing happens with that energy. Now, what about the adding the theater to that?
Well, one of the ways you can add theater is that once you've connected in the heart, once you've expressed your freest, deepest place as it is, without filtering, seeing the other as a divine being just like you, the theater can be then to go outside, like, for example, you know, to go outside and make a mess. Or go into their room and make a mess.
Ooh, I like that one.
Go in the room, play around, and make a mess.
Now that would get her attention.
Yeah. You go in their room, you go around, and you sit around, and you play with all the things. You don't wreck it. You just sit down in the middle, you make a mess, and you leave. They're like, what are you doing? I go, I'm just playing. And they say, well, what are you doing? You can't do that. So you clean it up. I'll clean it up later. And then as you're doing that, you wink at them. You don't use it as a counter-punishment. You wink at them. You do it with humor. You do it with love. You get them to start to see that really we're all one in some way. And you get them to see their patterns through your eyes. And you make it as artful and humorous as you can.
Interesting. I think it's so interesting, too, that we were directed right into the kinks first question. We started out, yeah, ecstasy, woo, and let's go right into the goo.
Of course.
So how about I give you another number?
Okay, great. Okay. 1 to 277. All right. 211 coming right up. Uh-huh. Seeking.
Seeking.
Seeking strategies for seekers. Seeking is crazy making. Yet you will do it until you burn out. So right out of the gate, feel free to take this advice. Seek as much as you can for as long as you can. Seek power. Seek money. Seek sex. Seek love, seek shoes, seek victories, until you cannot help but seek truth itself. Because once you know the truth, your seeking will never be the same. So seek. Neurotically try to conquer in business, make a killing in the market or on a safari, settle down in a cabin in the snowy mountains, perform gargantuan acts of heroism, seek smut, seek satisfaction, seek what it is at the end of the rainbow. Seek nobility. Seek that unnameable quality that haunts you in your sleep again and again. Seek to the end your stress, to empty your burdens and to lessen your load. Seek to give for giving's sake. Seek to love for love's sake. Seek to give meaning. Seek to find meaning and seek to be meaningful. If you fancy yourself a philosopher, endeavor to sit and think and talk of strategies that could be used to fulfill man's wants and needs. If you're a historian, see how it is that our ancestors successfully and unsuccessfully sought and what they never got from their seeking, you know? Nobody knows better how to seek than extreme, reverent, religious followers of any faith. There are ranges of sophisticated and crude methods of seeking. You can seek through pure debauchery. You can meditate enough to empty your mind enough so that you can have a fleeting whisper of the true freedom that you already are. Seek to gorge and to fill yourself with every delight under the sun. Seek through clutter clearing, winning the lottery, or falling in love. The basic idea I'm getting at in this, and it goes on for a few couple more pages, is that one day you'll recognize that every form of seeking is futile, that you already inherently possess all that can be sought. everything you've ever wanted. Seeking basically pulls you out of the now and makes you feel that there's something outside of this very moment that will give you more of this or less of that. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole spiritual quest. But the humorous thing is that it's only when your seeking has come to an end and you are frustrated with seeking that you're going to go, I've been seeking all my life and look what it's got me. It's got me a bit of this and that, but you know, really, I'm still ultimately not satisfied. It's in that moment where you really recognize that all the seeking that you've been doing is really a form of avoiding the now, avoiding the dark places, avoiding the hollow places within your being, avoiding the emptiness. And when you start to recognize that it's an avoidance strategy, you start to stop seeking or relaxing the seeking. And when you start to stop relaxing the seeking, you start becoming more in the present. And then when you're more in the present, guess what? It's the paradox. All the things that you've been seeking, they start appearing. So people can say, stop seeking, stop seeking, stop seeking, right? But the problem is, if you stop seeking, guess what? You'll never get to that place where seeking in your own being has no value. You have to burn out the karma of seeking to know what non-seeking is really about. And so part of this teaching is, you know, go for what you think is going to make you happy and fulfilled. Go for it. But ultimately, you're going to find out that it's not. That anything outside of you will not make you ultimately whole and fulfilled. And when you've come to that holy moment and holy time, so for some people, it's the dark night of the soul, you know? And there's a falling away, then, of attachments. There starts to be a sort of a falling away of what you thought this world could give you. And then instead of trying to get from this world, you start to enter a sacred place of, well, if I can't get really anything out of this world, how about offering? How about offering all of who I am? How about offering my talents and gifts to serve others? And when you start offering from that place in you that is fed up and tired of seeking anymore, guess what? You get all the fruits of what you're seeking thought you would get.
So it's not that you can't have what you think you're seeking.
No. It's just that by seeking, you won't get it. But it's funny. It's only seekers who've ever got really what they wanted. But it's not through seeking. It's through burning out their seeking. It's getting to the point of, I've been looking all my life and I still haven't got it. And then when you have enough of those failures over and over and over, then you start to become wise, hopefully. Wisdom is knowing what the world can give you and what it can't. And deep wisdom and enlightenment is offering then the very thing that you've always been looking for. When you start to offer what you've been looking for, you actually get it in a way that can't be, that's so profoundly beautiful that it can't be even spoken about.
So it's a real paradox.
It is.
All right, so it was interesting that that one came right after kinks.
Yeah.
Huh. But that's a tougher one for people to get, you know, because... So you're saying you can have what you're seeking, but you can't be seeking it. You have to be past the seeking.
What I'm saying is go for it. Seek. Go for it. Go for all the things you've been seeking. So write down on a piece of paper, perhaps, all the things that you've always looked for, you've always sought for. You're always seeking. Write it down and then go for them. But ultimately, you'll find that in going for them, you'll gain something, but it may not be the thing that you thought you were going for. You'll probably pick up wisdom along the way, you know? Wisdom is not something that falls into our lap. Wisdom is something that is earned.
Wisdom, so it's not that you have to keep this conversation in your mind as you're seeking.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
You have
too
to
much
know
to
that.
About.
You'll have to know that. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is ultimately knowing that. What are you going to take away from this? You can't. It's what you leave behind. It's the legacy and the opening and the magnification of love and freedom that you pour into this world, into your everyday mundane moments, your profound moments, your exemplary moments, every single moment. It's what you're offering in it which is fulfilling, not what you're taking out of it.
Sort of right up there with stop thinking about thinking so much, and then of course we think about thinking so much as we're thinking about, oh, I should stop thinking about thinking so much. We've got to get it just quiet down up there. Interesting. Okay. All right. How about number 57?
Okay. By the way, this book is has been created as a work of art. So it's not just text that you read. Every page is a work of art. And so when you read it, it's meant to sort of inspire you. Here we go.
All right.
Isn't that funny?
Uh-oh.
The futility of seeking love through pleasure and freedom from constraint.
Huh. Got a bit of a theme going here.
I know. You're waking up. As your true nature, you are love, and you are freedom. When you forget that, you seek your neurotic ways to fulfill yourself, or to fill yourself with love by trying to fill yourself with pleasures that are outside of you. You seek pleasure through food, pleasure through sex, pleasure through TV, pleasure through shopping, and pleasure through drugs or whatever. You continuously seek to fill an empty void that can never be filled, because it can never be filled. It's a void. It goes on and on. And the void is always empty at the bottom. You can try to fill it and fill it with waning pleasures that you hope will lead to love. When you are not seeking to be filled with love, you are trying to break out of some constraint and into freedom. You try to break away from the bills and the mortgage. You try to break out of the stress of your relationship, from the soreness of your knees, from the curse of disease, and from the pressures of your job. You neurotically try to break free from something and into something else that you hope will give you more freedom. When you start to wake up, rather than incessantly trying to fill yourself or continuing to break out of some so-called lack, you just say, I'm going to walk in and fill the room with who I am, as I am now. You fill it. You do not need to be full to fill the room with you. You need to fill the room, and then you will be filled. You don't need to be full of love and freedom to fill the room. When you fill the room with who you are now free to love. When you fill the room, you are living embodiment of freedom. When you fill the room, you are the living embodiment of love. You are already that which you seek. So the key is any circumstance, okay, Nicole?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can try this right now, wherever they're listening. Whether it's in your car, in your home, wherever you're listening, is feel your body and feel that who you are is contained within the skin parameters of your body. You're embodied. Incarnated. Incarnated, you know, it's a funny word. What it means, carne means meat. If you're in Spanish, you know.
In meat.
Yeah, it means in meated. You're in meat. To incarnate means that means you are inside meat. Well, that's how most people see themselves, is somehow that they're within the skin's boundary of their being, okay? Wherever you are now, just soften the front surface of your body. So imagine your eyes are softening. Your jaws are softening. Your whole face is softening. Your heart area is softening. Solar plexus and your belly are relaxing and opening and becoming more wide and deep. You're resting deeply. And imagine your spine is opening and flowering. And then, wherever you're sitting, look straight ahead. But as you look straight ahead, utilize your peripheral vision to take in everything to the left and to the right of you, above you and below you, so that you're actually wide open in all directions, so that you're taking in a bigger frame than you used to or have in the past. So you widen wide out with your peripheral vision. Now, everything you see, start to feel that your skin's perimeter is starting to relax, and so the skin is becoming more fuzzy between you and all that you're witnessing and being part of. So that you're, in a way, rubbing out the line that separates you from everything around you. And then you fill the room with who you are. So you expand and expand, and you imagine that this whole room, the whole place, whatever you're looking at, whether it's indoors or outdoors, is ultimately occurring and happening within you. All your thoughts are happening within you, all your emotions, all your feelings, the scenery, your environment is now all occurring within you. And in a way, you're filling the room like a huge genie and are taking on the space and the look and the feel of everything around you. So ultimately, every texture that you're experiencing and you see around you of anything or things is all occurring within you. Even if it's just a thought for now, even if it's just an idea, because you'll find that you'll go in and then you'll fill the room with who you are, and then the thought will come up and you'll find yourself in your mind. But the more you notice that, keep widening and widening. And when you fill a room with who you are, guess what precedes you? Your presence. Your radiance, your natural beauty, the largeness of who you are. Some people call it expanding your aura. You can expand your aura into anywhere. And when you do that, what will happen is the things that no longer are really important for your evolution will all fall away. And the things that are there to serve your evolution and your consciousness and your awareness will all start to come towards you, because now they're already within you. You haven't seen them or feel, you don't feel them as something outside of you. You feel it as something within you. And when it's within you, because you're filling the whole room with who you are as love, as freedom itself, then these things can now have a chance to come to you in three dimensions.
Wow, it's a very powerful exercise. Now, do you do that all the time?
Yeah.
So, I mean, does that have, like you're saying, that that transforms and goes beyond the stuff? And have you had people, comparing the difference of what happens in real world moments and instances where they haven't done that and then they have done that and things transformed?
Totally. You see, when you expand open and fill the room with who you are, you're more present. You know, there's all these teachings on be here now, right? And power of now. Well, that's just a simple way of doing it. But it expands and it takes into account that everything around you is you as well.
And it becomes a literal physical thing.
Everything, physical and non-physical, mental, emotional, energetic. Your aura is not something that's just around your body. Your aura is the whole cosmos.
Well, we've certainly given them food for thought there. Boy, we're almost at the top of the hour. Do we have time for one more page?
Sure.
Okay, let's go for, let's see, not thinking about it, 66.
Okay. 66. That's so amazing. And I've given the teaching and it keeps showing up. Here we go. Your awareness is now not just in your body, but it is moving out a few feet into the space around you. Feel that the space around you is you. And it is getting bigger and bigger. Feel whatever feelings are happening in your body and simply notice your thoughts and feel your feelings, whatever they may be. Fill the room with your presence and radiance. If your body starts to open and to expand in some way, let that happen. You may find your breath deepens. Your posture becomes even more expressively wide, or your chest expands. Let it happen. Fill every corner of the room with your presence. Fill up the space with you as if the whole room is living. The room is the living you. Now, how full do you feel? Do you feel like you have to fill yourself up with something outside of you? Or do you feel like offering your own fullness outwardly? Do you feel like you are neurotically trapped in some cage that you need to scratch your way out of? Or are you already free to be in the room so that you can offer your intrinsic nature? Eventually, you will consciously do this because there's nothing else to do. Fill the room. If you're in a large room, fill the whole room. There's no need, there's no end to the capacity of the room or to the bounty of you. So that's the very same exercise that you just led us into, Nicole, that we just talked about.
Now, either every page of your book is the same, or that's pretty freaky.
No, it's just pretty freaky.
Wow. So, Living Ecstasy. There's a little teeny-weeny taste. Now, the book is out now, right, Satyam?
The book is out. Right now, it's available on our website at warriorsage.com. And if you go to our store section, the book is available there, warriorsage.com. Also, you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-815-1545. And what's included, what's really nice about this book, what's included inside this book when you purchase a book, there's also a gift certificate for yourself and one family member for one of our Illumination Intensive events, which is a retreat, a five-day retreat with me, where we explore, you know, meditation, we explore ways of awakening to our deepest living ecstasy, waking up to our true nature, discovering who we really are. And that's offered as a gift for everyone who purchases the book. And so
wow.
That's Living Ecstasy. And they can go once again to warriorsage.com to get it, or they can go to call our 1-800 number at 1-800-815-1545.
And they get a five-day course free if they buy the book.
That's right.
Is the book like $8,000 or what?
I think that the books, I think it's being sold for $35 or $30. That's it.
Okay. Well, you know what to do, people. Living Ecstasy. There you go. And Satyam Raja's first book. Are you working on the next?
I am.
Any hints on what it will be about?
Well, you know, there's two books that I'm working on at the same time. And one of them is going to be on along the line, and the hint will be on really the path of the warrior sage, what it means to be a warrior and a sage in this world. And it'll be very counter to a lot of the traditional spiritual teachings.
Mm.
And then there'll be another book called that'll have to do with blasphemous truths. really letting go of the fluff of spirituality and getting going right down to the nuts and bolts, you know.
Excellent. Well, keep us in the loop. Keep us posted when those are about to be unveiled. And in the meantime, we'll get you on again real soon for maybe we can do a few more pages. That was fun.
Certainly. Well, I wish everyone living ecstasy in their life. And feel free to pick up the book and read it. What's beautiful is you can pick it up anywhere, anytime, when you're feeling great, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling confused, you're feeling stressed, or just in any moment. And everyone who's written back to me, just sharing with me the power it's had in their life, they keep telling me that they always open up to the perfect place at the perfect time. And isn't that funny? That's just exactly what's happened today.
Mm-hmm. That was a good example of that. Absolutely amazing. So, Living Ecstasy, the new book. There we go. Thank you, Satyam, for being here today.
Thank you so much. All my love to you. And let's all fill up the rooms with who we are.
The global room.
Got it.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for everybody for tuning in.
it's not just a show. It's a movement. You're listening to News for the Soul, the number one life-changing radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL, and the largest free life-changing audio resource on the web. We feature the top luminaries in the evolution of human consciousness and have kept all of our shows all free, all of the time, for the world to hear. In a recent listener survey, News for the Soul listeners responded with overwhelming appreciation and praise, which they summarized with this one powerful statement. News for the Soul is not just a show, it's a movement. Go to newsforthesoul.com to see for yourself. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Who are you? Why are you here? What is the meaning of life? These burning questions have plagued mankind throughout our existence. How would you like to experience a process that would allow you to have some of the answers? Answers that would cause you to live with higher awareness and deeper authenticity from now on? Well, you can. Warrior Sage is offering an experiential 5-day enlightenment workshop called Illumination Intensive. Regularly about $3,000 to attend, Satya and Raja of Warrior Sage is offering this life-changing 5-day course to News for the Soul listeners totally for free. That's right. The tuition has been completely waived for all News for the Soul listeners. Satyan says this experience is so profound, he wants to share it with the world. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. To have your own direct experience of awakening with Warrior Sage, go to illuminationintensive.com now and tell them News for the Soul sent you. That's illuminationintensive.com.
In December 2005, News for the Soul host Nicole Whitney experienced the most dramatic, life-changing psychic reading of her life. In that brief 10-minute mini-session, she released years of emotional baggage when Carrie O'Connor connected with a recently deceased family member, bringing Nicole a life-changing message from beyond the grave. Since that fateful day, Nicole has invited Carrie O'Connor on as a regular News for the Soul guest to do readings on the air. But you do not have to wait. Carrie is available for private sessions right now. Nicole has laughingly suggested wearing goggles and a helmet for these sessions because of the powerful energy that seems to come through Carrie when she's doing a reading. But don't take our word for it. Experience it for yourself. So pack up your goggles and helmet and book your life-changing session with Carrie O'Connor today. Go to InsideOut-OutsideIn.com. That's InsideOut-OutsideIn.com. Joe Dunning is a most unusual spiritual teacher and healer. After working with Joe, many people experience profound physical healing or find that they're finally free from the pain from past traumas and abuse. And now you can have a direct experience with Joe Dunning yourself for free. On the last Tuesday of every month, News for the Soul listeners can take part in Joe Dunning's free monthly teleconference event. Go to joedunning.com now to find out more. That's joedunning.com.
This has been News for the Soul with Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com, where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.